Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad you are back with us again. If you missed Mondays and Wednesdays episodes, go back and listen to those. We're talking this week about helping our kids to navigate through depression and anxiety and just the how to recognize it, some tools that we can use to help them work through this phase in their lives if they're going through that. And I know many of you have kids who are. Maybe they're 6 years old or maybe they're 16 years old. It doesn't matter. Having a child who is dealing with emotional distress, I guess I could say, is very difficult. And it can be frustrating for us as parents because we want to help them. And maybe sometimes we don't know how to help them. And so we're going to keep walking through this today with Dr. Rush Witt. I'm so glad to have him back with me. But before we get back into our conversation, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great homeschool curriculum that will really set a good, solid biblical foundation for your kids, check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. They will truly equip you for a successful homeschool journey. And so whether you are a parent-led homeschool parent or if you want video-led, I mean, they kind of have something for everybody. And so if you're not sure what's right for your family, call and talk to one of their consultants. And they will help walk you through what your needs are and what is the best fit for your family. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Rush, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you back with me. At the end of yesterday's episode, we were talking about how Jesus interacted with his disciples, and we were talking about being friends with our kids. And I love that conversation. We kind of ended with, what a friend we have in Jesus. And that's a beautiful hymn. It's one of my favorites. And we truly do have a friend in him. I want to dig a little bit more deeply into how we can really relate to our kids once we've maybe identified that they're dealing with depression and or anxiety. They sometimes go hand in hand. Sometimes they're kind of separate. So how can we really dig into relating to our kids when they're dealing and struggling through these things?
Yeah, that's a good question. And actually, So I think I have been actually most helped when someone has given me something that I can really hold on to. Because in the midst of parenting, in the midst of life, it's hard to think about something if it's really complex. Mm. And so the way that it's been a tool that's been helpful to me is just to remember three words, which actually come out of Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. This is a place in the Bible where we read about what Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry. And it's not just an example to us, though it is that. It is also a reminder that this is what Jesus is doing through us and in us now. And it's a way, I would call it a three-part plan for personal ministry. And those three parts are the things that we see Jesus doing in Matthew 9, 35, and 36. And it's easy to remember them just by the three words, enter, understand, bring. And that's the short version of enter their world, our kids, understand their need, and bring them Christ and his answers. So if we look at Matthew 9, 35 and 36, and I can read it for us.
Sure.
In the CSB, I like the way it puts this in really plain language for me to understand. 35, it says, Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages. Now, that seems like a really obvious thing, not a big deal, but it is a big deal because it says that Jesus, the King of all creation, came and entered our world. And he didn't just come down to the sky. He came down to the streets. And so we get this picture of Jesus walking our streets and being in our villages. And that is the entrance into our kids' world that we need to make. I need to enter their world. I need them to know that I have genuine concern, that I have a warm disposition toward them, and I want to be close to them. That's drawing close to them.
Yeah.
Second is understand, second part of the plan, understand their need. We see in Matthew 9, 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, this is what everybody knows of the passage. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus, having entered their world, he understood their need. He was able to see with compassion what they really needed from him. and what their real struggles were. We've kind of been talking about that over these recent episodes of how do we tune into that? How do we get our kids to talk about their hearts, their beliefs, their desires, those things that they're struggling with? This is what Jesus was doing, and this is what he's doing through us. And then the last part of the plan is to bring them Christ and his answers. We're not just bringing them, you know, a system of how to deal with life. We're actually bringing them a person, because that's what Jesus did. He went, in verse 35, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and meeting all of these needs in their lives with his own power and presence as the person who was their savior. So just having that in my mind is helpful to me in all kinds of relationships. Anytime somebody at church says, I'm struggling, can we talk about it? Anytime I'm engaging with my kids or my wife or somebody else, I'm thinking, all right, Rush, enter, understand, bring. That's what you have to do. Enter, understand, bring. I can remember that. That leads me into a big open field of ministry into this person's life, even if it's just a one conversation. So that's been really helpful to me. And I think it's helpful to anybody that can just remember those three words and use them.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question on that, because oftentimes, you know, we can enter their world. Yeah. We can understand what their needs are. But oftentimes I think kids don't want us to bring Jesus to them. Mm. They've got an enemy, you know, it's almost like, you know, the angel and the devil on their shoulders, you know, both fighting it out between them, and they're, and maybe our kids are not yet saved. And so they're fighting against the Lord, and they're saying, I don't want Jesus. I don't want you to throw the Bible at me. You know, I don't want that Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
And that can be really hard, because just because we're a Christian family does not mean that our children are yet saved. And so how would a parent navigate through the child who is rejecting truth? They're saying, you know what, maybe that's good for you. But if God, and of course, it's the question that I think everyone at some point in their life asks, if God is loving, if he is good, why would he allow me to be depressed? Why would he allow the trauma to happen to me that happened to me? Why would he allow my life to be this way? Why would he allow, you know, my friends to have hurt me? Why would he allow whatever, you know, fill in the blank, all the things that are causing them to be low, to be down, to be depressed? How do you help a child who's just totally rejecting God and that bring, you know, bringing Jesus to them?
Yeah. So two thoughts come to mind for me, and these are not silver bullet thoughts. You know, these are hard questions that we have to navigate with kids that are different. They have different personalities, different challenges. We're different people, you know? And so first, I'm reminded as you're talking, in Proverbs 15, we read that the lips of the wise make knowledge acceptable. And what that tells me is that in order for me to deliver truth to anyone, I'm going to have to do that inner understand bring, of course, because I need to know how to bring that truth to them. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a challenge. It is not going to be easy. It's not simplistic. There's no like three little steps. Just do this, say this, you know, and everything's good. So I want to be a wise person who can learn to communicate in ways that are not just simplistic. So that's going to take work. Second, I need help. I'm not clever enough to just figure that out. So I need help, and I'm grateful for all of the Christian resources that we have. And we've mentioned books on the episode so far. You've mentioned other authors and books that you've had on your podcast. And we are in a great time of history, because there are so many solid Christian biblical resources to help us.
Yeah.
And so I do want to mention one, which is a newer Bible called the Life Council Bible, and is actually produced in partnership between Lifeway Bible Publisher and New Growth Press. And what we've done is with the CSB Bible, which is actually, I love the CSB. I've started using it in preaching and just as my standard Bible, because it's really easy. It's easy to read, but it's still really true to the text of Scripture. But what we've done is we've taken the CSB, and we have placed within it articles, essentially, that come from the large collection of counseling mini books at New Growth Press. These are little books that, you know, listeners might have seen them in the in a store, Christian bookstore, or in your church. A lot of churches have a resource table that has these little books that are on different counseling issues. You know, it might be on anxiety, it might be on finances, might be on depression, some of the things we've been talking about. And they're short. They're just like 5,000 words, easy to pick up and read. Sometimes a biblical counselor, pastor might give them to you, you know, to read, to encourage you till the next time that you meet. So we've taken that content of those mini books that are on all of these important topics and put them at key points throughout the CSB Bible, the Life Counsel Bible. Mm-hmm. And so having a Bible like that, I know you mentioned that you've been reading it, so you know about these articles. It gives me something that as I'm reading scripture, I'm getting some added help, sort of like commentary, but it's counseling oriented.
Yeah.
It's giving me new ways to talk about these problems. And I think it can be helpful in, of course, parenting and in all of life, because we all need to get better at how we understand, how the Bible speaks to these challenges that we and our kids and our fellow church members and neighbors are facing. And so I'm really excited about the Life Counsel Bible because it is such a helpful tool and it's so packed with just clarifying, you know, help for me. Even as I'm reading, if I read the Bible devotionally, I come across articles at key points, key passages about marriage relationships and obedience and all of those things. And it's just a really helpful tool. In this whole conversation of how we can grow as parents.
It is a great tool. I got this Bible several months ago and I've loved it. I typically read the ESV and that's been my version for many years. I love the ESV and then I got the Life Counsel Bible and I love the CSB version because I've never read it. The CSB is the Christian Standard Bible. It's that version. Mm-hmm. And at first I was kind of hesitant because I was like, I just wasn't familiar with it.
Sure.
And there are some really poor translations of the Bible. And so people need to certainly be cautious and careful about what they are reading. But this one's been fantastic. And it's interesting as I read it because I've read a lot of the Bible. I mean, I've read the whole Bible, but I've read the Bible a lot. And so I can actually see the difference, but I'm like, oh, it's a little easier to understand the way it's written this way. But it's fantastic. I mean, I love that you can, you know, I'm like, there's so many different articles within this Bible. Actually, here's my copy of it right here. It's the Life Counsel Bible. Yep. And there's articles kind of for everything, you know, divorce, abuse, dealing with a rebellious teenager. That's one of them.
And they're all written by biblical counselors that even some people who may not be as familiar with biblical counseling, they would think, well, I don't know any of those people, but you actually probably do, like, because there's articles by Paul Tripp and Johnny Erickson Tata and Ed Welch and so many others. And so it gives us something to kind of grab onto. And to your point about how it reads, that's one of the things I like about it. You know, Bible translations on one end have a dynamic, the fancy word is dynamic equivalence.
Yeah.
That's where it's really like thought for thought.
Yeah,
and then there's on the other end something that's more a little bit more like the ESV, which is formal equivalence. That means that it's more word for word. Mm-hmm. The CSB tries to be in what they call the optimal equivalence of both being true to the text and also being readable for everyday life. And I really like that about it.
It's fantastic. Well, we have a few more things to talk about when we come back from the break. I want to talk about counseling, like how do we know when counseling actually, you know, when we need to actually go out? We've got the Life Counsel Bible that we can look at, but when our children are dealing with these things and they're struggling, how do we know when to actually go out and find a good, solid biblical counselor or a pastor? And then how do we go about doing that? You know, just kind of where does the church come in there? And then I also want to talk about how a married couple can navigate in their marriage with dealing with a depressed child, because oftentimes when we have a child who is really struggling in one way or another, but especially with depression, I know it can be hard for a husband and wife to be on the same page, to know how to help that child together without it causing turmoil in their own marriage. So we're going to talk about those two things when we come back.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC Math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC Math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Rush. I want to talk, like I said before the break, about counseling. We talked about the Life Counsel Bible, but I want to talk about like actual in-person counseling. Mm-hmm. How do we know at what point in the lives of our kids as they're struggling with these things, if they're struggling with these things, mm-hmm. when do we start seeking out a counselor? And maybe that counselor would be a biblical counselor, or mm-hmm. maybe they would be a pastor. When I say biblical counselor, I'm thinking of like an ACBC counselor or what's, mm-hmm. I know there's another organization.
Yeah, CCEF.
Okay.
Is another, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the other one. And we'll try to put links to those in the show notes as well, because those are oftentimes you can find a counselor in your area. Anyway, hopefully you are in a church where you have a pastoral staff or pastors who can help with counseling. But how do we know when to just kind of push our kids that direction? So, you know what, let's get some help.
Yeah.
How do we know when it's the time to do that? And then how do we approach that with our kids?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that my answer could be surprising to some people. And the answer is right away. And so what I mean by that is, of course, our response to a struggle needs to be proportional, right? And sometimes that's really hard. You know, there's a really famous, I don't know how many people know it, so maybe it's not that famous, but kind of principle in the medical community. And it's borrowed by counselors and applied to counseling. And it can be applied by all of us. And it goes like this. When you hear hoofbeats, think horse, not zebra. So it, as a doctor, it can be easy to see really alarming symptoms and run to the worst case scenario. You know, it's like if you were walking down your sidewalk and all of a sudden you heard hoofbeats behind you, you would not say, I bet it's a zebra. You would say, oh, somebody's riding a horse.
Right.
We want to take that kind of measured approach to these issues, because very often there is a common to man issue going on. It's not a zebra. It's not the worst case scenario. But as parents, our hearts run in that direction and we need some help being measured. So for that reason, I say that we need to be reaching out for help the moment that we see that we are facing a challenge with our kids. And usually that's an ordinary conversation with another Christian, faithful Christian parent, a fellow church member, a pastor, because when these things happen, it's sad, but it's reality. Most people end up isolated, and most yeah. parents don't want to tell anybody about it. We have our own issues going on. What does this say about my parenting if my kid is struggling? I don't want to admit that my kid is the one that's struggling. And all of a sudden, we're all by ourselves. Even if a husband and wife are together on it, they can still be very isolated together. Yeah. You know, because sure. So I think that we should be involving more people. You know, not in embarrassing ways. You know, not sure. make the circle so big, but involve more people earlier.
Yeah.
So that we have support and we can bounce this off of other parents. They're praying for us. They might say, "Hey, listen. We're going through the same thing. We can help each other.
Yeah.
This is some of how we've talked to our kids, and it seems like it's been helpful. You know, keep us updated, that kind of thing."
Yeah.
So now when it comes to counseling and things are progressing and you feel like, I think this is getting a little beyond me. I don't know as a parent how to talk about this. I don't understand. Then those are times where and probably we have those other parents, hopefully we have those other parents around who are echoing that with us. Let's try to get some extra support for your son or daughter. The way that you can go about that is, you mentioned organizations like the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors or the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, and other biblical counseling ministries will usually have like a counselor directory where you can look, you type in your zip code and it tells you where they are. It tells you kind of what kind of training they have or what kind of counseling they tend to do. And actually, parents, it's helpful probably for parents that aren't as familiar with biblical counseling to know that typically the first step of biblical counseling when your kid is struggling is that you're going to be going to counseling. Yeah. You're going to be meeting with the biblical counselor because you're with your kids, you know, far more than that hour of counseling.
Right.
There might be counseling where your child is involved, but there's definitely going to be a part where you're going to be equipped and helped along the way as well. And that should be an encouragement to parents. I'm not just trying to find somebody to fix this problem. I need help growing as a parent too. So you can usually find those online and seek those out, or network with pastors in your community, asking around about faithful biblical counselors that would be helpful and available. Mm-hmm. That's the way to go about that.
Yeah. Do typically, and I'm not sure how this exactly works. I've known a couple of people who are ACBC, I don't know, certified, I guess.
Yep. Certified counselors. Mm-hmm.
And most of them that I know, they counsel, free of charge. And I'm not going to like put out there and say all of them do.
Yeah.
It probably depends on where you are and what their situation is, what your situation is. But I only say that because I think oftentimes people would say, well, I can't afford to get counseling for my kids. Mm-hmm. And again, hopefully you go to a church that would offer counseling as well. I know a lot of churches do, but find some way to get some help from someone else. And I appreciate that you talk about having that smaller circle of people around you. We've had situations in our family, like everyone does, where we've just struggled through things. And I have four women in my life specifically who are the five of us, I should say. We pray for one another and we can shoot out a text message or a phone call and just say, hey, we really need you to be praying about this specific thing that we're struggling with. And I know that these women are faithful to pray. I know that they are solid in their relationship with the Lord, that it's not ever coming across with them as gossip, but that they will truly be praying, lifting our family up in prayer. And I do the same for them. Oftentimes, you know, we'll get text messages or I'll get phone calls from them saying, hey, we're struggling with this week. Can you pray about these things? And praises as well. Yeah. We share those with each other as well. You know, praise God, this thing happened. You know, God answered this prayer. He answers all of our prayers in one way or another. But, you know, the Lord, you know, did this through this situation. And so we get to bring glory to his name as well. So I think that's important. So thank you for that. The last question I want to go back to really quickly is, how, as married people, I think when we deal with difficult times, especially with parenting, and parenting is sometimes hard because we are two people who come from two very different backgrounds, and then we're trying to parent together, but we've been parented differently. And when it comes to difficult things like dealing with a child who might have depression or anxiety or something like that, I see that it can sometimes pull marriages apart. I mean, I wouldn't say that because it's not the child who pulls marriages apart. There's other issues if that's the case. But how can parents be on the same page? How can they support one another? How can they encourage one another? How can they keep their marriage strong? Because I think in that situation, more so than ever, those kids need to know that mom and dad are united in the family, that they're united in their parenting, they're united in their love for the child. So how can you encourage parents maybe who are dealing with this together?
Yeah, it's a great question, especially at the end of our time, because your question really brings together everything that we've talked about over these recent episodes that we've been talking. Because what parents can be doing, a husband and wife should be doing the things that we talked about in the first episode that we were together. You know, of understanding in each other that we're full of beliefs and desires that are in conflict, you know, and the conflict that we may have between each other is rooted there. So having a clear understanding of that and applying grace to each other is of utmost importance in order to navigate that. to see that just as our kids' struggle is not simplistic, our struggle to help them is not simplistic. Our wrestling, we might have different views of what's needed. You know, we might have different, our differences of parenting approach might come out a little bit then. And so I think, you know, that as well as things like we just talked about, enter, understand, bring, are what a husband and wife need to be doing with each other. Rallying with help around themselves is what husbands and wives need to be doing together. They need other couples. They need their pastors. They need friends that are going to help them. And by putting that together, it puts us in a much better place to actually be able to be united and help our kids in the most important ways, because we're being helped.
Right.
We're being helped and changed. And what I don't want to happen in my marriage is when suddenly it's a conflict between my wife and I, everything we just talked about is out the window.
Right.
And now I'm in a totally different place. I don't know what to do. I do know what to do. I need to do the same things I do to minister to my kids.
Yeah.
I need to do that with my wife. I'm not always great at that.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of help that that I need. And it could be, again, that we need to have some clear biblical counseling help.
Sure.
You know, help us walk through that and share in resources, you know, read resources together, praying together.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I go through it. It's hard for us. I know it's hard for other people, but I am grateful for conversations like this. I'm grateful for resources. Life Counsel Bible,
yeah.
Get Out of My Face. You know, When Sinners Say I Do, so many great things that we have available to help us. We are in a good place in that way, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Ultimately, you mentioned, you know, again, the Life Counsel Bible, the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, even just spending time reading God's Word together as a couple. If you're struggling with something, whether it's your children or your marriage or finances or the loss of a job or whatever, health issues, whatever, spending time together in God's Word, you know, is so important. And I don't say, you know, my husband and I, we don't do our quiet times together. We are complete opposites. It's funny. I'm the morning person. He's the night person. Mm. I read my Bible first thing in the morning. He reads his Bible last thing at night before he goes to, I don't know how he does it. He'll be up at 2 a.m. and he'll read his Bible for an hour. And I'm like, how do you even keep your eyes open? It's just incredible to me. But, you know, so we're very opposite. But I know lots of couples who, there's even like couples Bibles, you know, and they just read God's Word together as a couple. And there's no greater thing than coming to the feet of Jesus together as a couple to help navigate and strengthen you to deal with these struggles that our kids are struggling with. Because, you know, the world's not getting any easier, unfortunately. It's getting harder and harder by the day, but God is still on his throne and he is our source of hope. And I am so thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for resources like the Life Counsel Bible and like the books that you mentioned. And, you know, this podcast, share this with your friends, share it with your husband or wife, whoever, you know, whoever's listening to this, and hopefully it will be an encouragement to you. So, Rush, thank you so much for being with me this week.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been good talking.
Thank you for your encouragement and your wisdom, sharing all these things and just being transparent with us. It has been truly a joy and a blessing to chat with you. And
you too.
And again, tell us the name of your church really quickly for those who might be in that Columbus, Ohio area.
Yeah, our church is called Paramount Church. It's in Bexley, Ohio. Thank you.
That's a cool town name. We have a town right next to us called Bixby, which I think is just such a fun name to say.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a town called Broken Arrow, which is also pretty cool.
Okay,
and fun.
That's cool.
All right. Well, we will put links to all these things. We'll put links to Life Counsel Bible and the books that Rush mentioned, as well as you even mentioned Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Ginger Hubbard's book, Don't Make Me Count to Three. She's got lots of resources. We'll put all those links in the show notes. So thank you guys so much for listening this week. We are so grateful for you. Again, you can find everything at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. Make sure you stay tuned to the very end to hear a clip of what's coming up next week on the podcast. And we will see you back here on Monday. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout. And receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
That was the moment that he brought me back home. Like, I could just feel him doing the whole running for the one and leaving the 99. Like, I could feel it. Wow. And immediately I did an about face. Now, here's the scary part, because I was like, okay, I'm living my life for you. We're doing this new and different. We're doing this. We're not checking boxes. I'm living in full surrender and in full sacrifice to you. I'm about to do this. Like, I'm doing this thing. The scary part was I'm married to an atheist.
Right.
At that point in time.
And you're raising a daughter together.
And we're raising a daughter together. And when I got to Springfield, I'm like, well, I'm going to buy a Bible, because I didn't have a Bible, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get a Bible again. And I went home, and then all these thoughts keep coming up in my head of like, what if he finds out?